John chapter 6.
John chapter 3.
John 3:16.
Yeah.
We've been in the process of studying what I call the gifts of Christmas. And the first week we looked at the gift of grace that God gave us through Jesus. Second week we looked at the gift of life. Last week we looked at the gift of joy. And this morning I want us to take a look at the fourth gift of Christmas through Jesus, the gift of love, that we can be reconciled with God. This video was a picture, I'm sure, a little bit of how God feels about us. He loves us so much, and He cares so much for us, and He wants us to know that, but we can many times be a little bit stubborn and self-centered and about ourselves. And the distance sometimes between us and God seems to be a little greater than it should be. But God says, I'll come to you. And He does through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Is my mic not on?
Is it on now? Okay. That's what that button's for. How about that? I think I should figure that out after a while. All right. John 3:16. It simply says this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, I come to You this morning, Lord, and I just praise You for who You are. And for this time of year that we're able as a nation and as a world to stop and realize and recognize the incredible gift that You gave through Your Son, Jesus. Not only that He came and lived, but He came and He died and He lives again. I thank You, Father, for this gift of love. The greatest gift ever given, a gift that shows us how much You love us. I thank You for that, Lord. And I pray today that as we again look into Your Word and as we hear what You might have to say to us personally and together corporately, that we will hear what You have to say by Your Holy Spirit, and that, Father, You will move as only You can. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I told you, the gift of grace was God gave us something we didn't deserve. You recall that. What we deserve is to be separated from Him, the Scripture says. But because He loves us so much, He gave us grace. And then Jesus said, I have come that you might have life to overflowing abundance. In other words, not just exist, but truly live. There's a lot of people that are existing. There are very few people that are truly living. The third week we talked about the gift of joy last week. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. You see, it was joy to these shepherds, the ones who take care of the sheep, because they found out that the Lamb of God was now here. And they rushed to the manger to see this new gift. Today we're going to talk about the gift of love. You know, there's no greater gift than the gift of love. There's no greater thing that you can have than to know that you are loved. Loved by people around you, but mostly known that you're loved by God. And I want to see this morning as we look at this verse. It's a verse that almost everybody in the world has heard. In fact, there's even people that stand up with it on a sign at football games. Have you ever seen that guy who's got the rainbow hair and he's always got John 3:16 sitting right behind the goalpost? For God so loved the world. This word love is the word agape. It is unconditional love. The Scripture says God so loved the world. Now a lot of times we don't think about what that really means. But what the word world in Greek is kosmos, which means an ungodly multitude, a whole mass of mankind that is alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. But God so loved this world. Now, a lot of people think, oh, no, God doesn't love the whole world. He just loves certain people in the world. That's not what Scripture says. You got to change the Scripture to come up with something like that. And the Bible calls that heresy. The Scripture says God so loved the world. You know, folks, this is the world that God loves. We're living in it right now. And there are people all around us that need to know that God loves them. Not just the good people, not just the churchgoers, not just what we call the saints. God loves everyone because His love is unconditional. He doesn't look at us and judge us and say, I'll love you if you do this, and I'll love you because you're doing this. I love you if you make a certain amount of money or if you don't. God just loves you, period. He just loves you. Now you as a parent, and some of you that have brought your children here today, you as a parent understand that unconditional love. Because there's sometimes your child might not be lovable, but you still love them, right? I know that personally because I was not lovable. Man, I tell you what, I don't know why, except for the exceeding love of my mom and my grandparents, that I'm still here. Because I was not an easy child. My wife says I'm not even an easy adult, but I was not an easy child. I had way more energy than a kid should have. And I was not focused on anything. And so, I mean, to be loved was amazing. And yet I was shown unconditional love. You understand that if you have children. God so loved the world. Why? Why would He love the world? Why would God love those in this world that hate Him? Why would He do that? Why would Jesus come to be despised and rejected, the Scripture says? Why would He come and put Himself in that kind of situation? Why would He put Himself in a situation where He knew that He was going to be rejected? Why would He take our sins upon Himself to the cross? Why would He do that? The only explanation is that His love compelled Him to do so. You see, folks, it's only because of His great love for us that we were not consumed, the Scripture says. God so loved the world. John chapter 1 verse 10 says it like this. He was in the Word. He was the world. And through the world was made through Him. The world did not recognize Him. You see, the world didn't understand who He was when He first came. John 15 verse 18 says it like this. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Me first, Jesus said. You see, this world is not, they're not in the habit of understanding that God is love. They don't understand that God did all of this for them. That He did it for you and for me. God so loved the world. His love was unconditional. Secondly, His love is sacrificial. The Scripture says God so loved the world that He did something. That He gave. God so loved the world that He gave. That's the action. Love put into action. You see, a lot of people could say they love you, but if they don't put it into action, it doesn't bear forth fruit. Right? God says, I love the world so much that I gave. It's not just a statement or a proclamation, but a demonstration by God Himself. God says, I want you to understand this so much that I'm going to demonstrate to you how much I love you. I'm going to put it into a physical form so you can see and understand My love for you. Some of us are visual learners. That's what I was when I did learn things. I learned them visually. I had to see it. You know, if my granddad was telling me you ought to do this and this and this, I'd go, what does that mean? And then he'd say, okay, I'll draw it out for you. And then he would, and then I'd understand it. God says to us, I'm going to draw it out for you. I'm going to show you through what I'm doing right now. I'm going to allow my own Son, Jesus, to come and to be born in a manger, to walk upon this earth, and ultimately to give His life for you. God says, I gave. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated His love. God shows us that true love has nothing to do with what you can do for Him, but everything to do with what He can do for you. You see, love is not about me trying to meet somebody else's expectations. Love is about giving of myself. That's what God did. He gave of Himself sacrificially because He loves you so much. His love is unconditional and it's sacrificial. His love was put into action. And here's the application. Because His love was put into action, you can have, according to God's Word, not according to me or anybody else, but according to God's Word Himself, you can have complete forgiveness. Completely forgiven of all things you've ever done wrong or ever will do wrong. You know why? Because God so loved you that He gave. He gave His only Son. Why? Because of His great love. Because of what He wanted us to be able to be with Him. Now, when you stop and think about this, the only way I could ever be with God, since heaven is perfect and God is perfect, I'd have to be perfect. And a lot of people think, well, if I do enough good things, maybe He'll let me into heaven. That means if you still do bad things, He's not gonna, right? Because heaven's perfect, God's perfect, I'm not perfect. But Jesus was perfect. So the perfect Lamb of God, the Scripture says, became all sin for me so I could be made right with Him. That's how much God loved me. He put it into action. And it is applied unto me. The Scripture says, I am justified in Christ. That word justified literally means justified, never sinned. When God looks at you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says His blood has atoned for your sin. That means you're covered. Now, if you're driving a car and you get in a wreck and you don't have insurance, you're not covered. Right? Guess what happens? You're now liable for all the costs and the damage and the harm that could have been done. But if you got that little slip of paper in your glove box that says, I'm covered, then what? All you do, man, you call up your insurance agent and say, hey, this guy T-boned me and we're, you know, and I'm covered. Because I took the time to sit down and listen to an insurance agent tell me what I needed to do, and I signed a piece of paper and I gave him some money and I'm covered. Have you taken the time to sit down with Jesus and say, I need Your coverage, Lord. I need Your coverage. I need to be covered by the blood. That's the application that He gave. God so loved the world unconditionally that He sacrificially gave. Gave what? His only. The Scripture says it was such a valuable gift. It's unconditional, it's sacrificial, and it's valuable. The worth of you. You see, God looks at you and He says, you're worth it. For my Son to do what He had to do. You are worth it. Do you realize how valued you are by God for Him to do something like that for you? Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 says it like this. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable? Are we not much more valuable than they? Matthew chapter 12, verse 12. How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. In other words, hey, if animals are important to God, how much more are you important to God? Luke chapter 12, verse 24. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barns. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? You are worth so much to God. How much? That His only. The worth of Christ. You see, God gave not just something He had. He gave all that He had. He didn't give out of His abundance, but He gave His only Son. For God so loved the world, unconditional, that He gave sacrificial, His only, something that was so valuable that you couldn't put a price on it. And fourthly, something that's so personal, He gave His only what? Son. His manifestation. The Scripture says Jesus became flesh and He dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 14 says it like this. The Word became flesh. He made His dwelling among us. That word dwelling is where we get the word Emmanuel. He lives among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, the Scripture says. God loved you so much that He gave His only Son. John the Baptist proclaimed it like this when he first saw Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." See, John the Baptist was so excited. He was so excited because he knew the time was coming when the Messiah would make His entrance into the world. And when he saw Jesus, he knew it was them. And he said, "That's the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world." And from that point on, John the Baptist says, "I must decrease so He must increase." For God so loved the world unconditional that He gave sacrificial, His only valuable, personal Son. God gave Jesus. Now Jesus, by the way, the Scripture tells us was fully God and fully man. If you read back in the first chapter of John, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing has been made that is made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus is God, coming in flesh. He's the light of God, Scripture says. In other words, we can't look upon God. But God says, "I want to show you what I'm like." And so He allowed it to be put into form so that we could see Jesus. Many years ago, I heard a story about an old farmer that had a barn. And he was standing in his house on one cold, frigid night, you know, kind of like it gets here sometimes. And he kept hearing this knocking. By the way, I've got a woodpecker in my house that's driving me crazy. And I hear they're protected, but this one's not going to be protected long. Maybe I shouldn't say that on record here, but anyway. So he kept hearing this knocking, you know, and he couldn't figure out what it was. And so he went through the kitchen to his kitchen window, and he saw some birds sitting out on the outside of his window pecking at the window because they wanted in. It was warm inside. They were freezing outside. And so he thought, well, man, what? How can I take care of them? So he thought, I'll go out to the barn. I'll open up the barn, and I'll crank up the furnace in there in the barn, and they'll see the door open, and they'll go in there. So he goes and opens up his door, and the light turns the light on, and he tries to shoo the birds toward, but they don't get it. They just fly away, and then they come back to his window and start pecking again. It's driving him crazy. He said, man, how am I going to tell these guys to go to the barn? It's there. And then it hit him. Man, if I could just be a bird for just a few minutes, I could go out there and communicate with them. Say, hey, guys, come follow me. Take them into the barn. And God says, how am I going to communicate with people? I'll become one of them. And I will live among them. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Scripture says. God so loved the world unconditional that He gave, it was sacrificial. His only, it was valuable. His only Son, it was personal. He gave us the light of God that's shining in a darkened world. It's accessible. The Scripture says that whoever believes in Him. You see, there's some people that teach a doctrine, a false doctrine called limited atonement, that God only died for a select few of people. But that's not what Scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Christ died for all. The Scripture says that. Whosoever means anyone. God, that whosoever believes in Him. God is not willing that anyone should perish, the Scripture tells us, but that all should come to repentance. God loves everyone. He so loved the world. He loves you, and He loves me. And He loves your neighbor, and He loves your children, and He loves your co-workers, and He loves every person that you know. That whoever believes in Him, whosoever means anyone. Not only does He tell us that, He came to us so we could see Him, so we could know Him, so we could experience Him. Jesus stepped into this world. He stepped into time. He stepped into history so that this world could see and know how much God loves him and loves you. God so loved the world unconditionally that He gave sacrificially His only valuable personal Son and made Him accessible to us. Why? For the benefit of it. Beneficial. So that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know how you get that? The Scripture says through complete forgiveness. Some of you are living like you haven't received forgiveness. What more could He do than to take the price of your sins and mine upon the cross and pay the ultimate sacrifice? He has done it all for you. Realize and understand that when God says, I forgive you, He forgives you. The Scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. To remember them against us no more. What if we had a memory like that? We could forgive somebody and not bring it up against them again. Ever. Ever. That's the kind of forgiveness God has for us. When God says He remembers it no more, it's not that He couldn't remember. God could do anything. I remember in one of my systematic theology classes, my professor says, is there anything that God can't do? And one guy says, yeah, he can't make a rock big enough that He can't pick it up. And the guy says, yep. He can't make a rock big enough that he can't pick it up, but then he'd pick it up anyway. See, God can, He can do everything. And one of the things He can do is He can forgive us completely. Why? Because the sin debt has been paid. And I'm covered. I'm covered by the blood. Not only am I completely forgiven, I'm completely accepted. Folks, you're completely accepted. You shouldn't perish but have everlasting life because you can come just as you are and He accepts you because of His love. Will you accept His love? I think a lot of people think, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve the love of God. Believe me, none of us deserve the love of God. None of us deserve this. That's what's so awesome about His love. That's what's so awesome about His grace and His love and His life that He gives to us and the joy that we live in. That's what's so awesome about all of this. A lot of people think church is going and sitting and listening and leaving. That's church. That's not church. That's religion. And I hate religion. But I love a relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's the last part. All of this, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why? Because now we are reconciled with Him. Colossians chapter 1, I want to read this verse to you. Colossians chapter 1, it's actually there in front of you. Verse 20 says, "And through Him, Jesus, to reconcile Himself all things, whether things on earth and things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." We are reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. And the Scripture calls this complete reconciliation. Our sins are completely covered, as though they were never there. We are atoned for, the Scripture says. He paid a debt He did not owe. Why? Because of His great love for you and for me. You see, folks, it doesn't matter how much you've sinned. It doesn't matter how terrible you think your sins are. The bottom line is this: God's love is greater than your sin. And the blood of Jesus is pure. And it covers completely. And you might say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? If I accept Jesus, then I can sin as much as I want to? I used to have a pastor friend that says, yeah, you can. Because when you accept Jesus, you don't want to. God gives you a new heart. And you want to start serving Him rather than yourself. Complete reconciliation means I have now been brought into a right relationship with God. Does it mean I'm always right? No, I still mess up. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, the things I don't want to do, I still do. And the things I don't that I do want to do, I don't do. And there's a war that rages within me. Because we still live in a sinful world. And we still have that little part of us inside of us that says, I want to do what I want to do. But one day, that'll also be changed. When we stand before God, completely changed. He paid a debt He didn't owe because He loves you so much. And the Scripture says that we should not perish but have everlasting life. The Scripture says we become His children. He has adopted us. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. When you adopt somebody, don't you go and look and decide if you want them or not? As an orphan child, you might be sitting there in an orphanage thinking, is anybody going to ever come and want me? Scripture says God so loved the world. He looks at every single person and He says, I love you. And I want to adopt you as my child. Will you come and live with me forever? The Scripture also says He will never leave you or forsake you. The Scripture also says His love endures forever. Now folks, that's just as simple as it gets. It's just as straightforward as it gets. God so loved you. God so loved this world. Every person around you, every neighbor you have, every kinfolk you have, even the cranky ones, He so loves them that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. And He wants you to be reconciled to Him. You might be here today and you might say, well, how do I do that? Scripture says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Saved from what? Separation from Him. You might think to yourself, well, how could a loving God send somebody to hell? He's never sent one person to hell. People have chosen to go there by saying no to God. But He didn't even make hell for people. Revelation says hell was made for the devil and his demons. But it's going to be the place where you choose to go if you choose to say no to God. You might be sitting there saying, well, no, He's going to start talking about hell. Listen, it's just as prevalent in Scripture as heaven is. Because it's real. But I'm telling you this, folks. God so loved you that you don't have to go there. You don't have to choose to go there. All you got to do is choose God. I mean, who wouldn't want to choose God? Think about it. Heaven, perfect, awesome, forever. Hell, terrible, forever. I mean, what kind of choice is that? And yet so many people, because of their life here on this earth, they want to pack it in with everything they think they got to do. It's all about self. And they don't want to think about eternity. And I'm telling you this, the reason we're here today is because God has come eternally for us so that we could be with Him. God so loved you that He gave His only Son. If you believe in Him, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. Father, I come to You this morning and I thank You for the sweet, beautiful simplicity and yet complexity of that verse. It simply tells us You love us unconditionally and You gave of Yourself completely so that we could be covered totally in the blood of Jesus. Father, I ask this morning that You will speak to every heart, including my own. And that, Lord, You will say exactly what You need to say right now in this time of quietness, in this moment. And if there's someone here today who has not yet given their life to You and not received Your forgiveness and not understood that they needed to trust You as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray today would be the day they do so. The Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Why wouldn't You take the greatest gift ever given at a time we talk about the greatest gift, Jesus? It's called Christmas because of Christ. It's a gift that God wants everyone to receive. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive their King. If you're here today and you'd like to receive the King, let me tell you how you can do that according to God's Word. Maybe you could just pray a simple prayer in your own heart right now. If you're not praying it to me or anybody sitting around you, you're praying it straight to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But something like this, dear Lord, thank You for sending Jesus to pay for my sins on the cross. You so loved me that you gave your only Son. That if I believe in Him, which I'm choosing to do right now, and what He's done for me, I believe in Him. I will not perish, the Scripture says, but I'll have everlasting life. Lord, I give you my life right now, and I'm putting it in your hands. And the Scripture says that you will then reconcile me unto yourself. You will cover me with the blood that was shed on the cross by the perfect Lamb of God and atone for my sins. And I will be set free. And I will be your child. And you will be my Father forever because you've adopted me. Thank you for saving me. If you're here this morning and you prayed a prayer something like that, maybe not the exact words, but in your heart, you know you meant to give your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to not be silent about that. Scripture says, if you confess Him before men, He'll confess you before the Father. But if you deny Him before men, He'll deny you before the Father. In other words, if you really want to give your life to Jesus, and you did, you won't be ashamed of it. We have a time at the end of our service called an invitation, and I just invite anyone who's done that this morning to just come and take me by the hand in just a moment and just share with me, I gave my life to Jesus today. You don't have to stand in front of this congregation and speak. But what I'll do is I'll share with them the decision that you've made. And they will rejoice with you. As are the angels in heaven already doing, the Scripture says. Maybe you're looking for a church home and you haven't felt like there's been a place that God's led you, and maybe today you feel like this might be the place that God is leading you to. We'd love to have you. But we're not trying to just get a bunch of people to come in here. What we're trying to do is listen to God and do what He says for us to do. And if that's what you want to do, we would love to have you be a part of this church. Whatever God's saying to you this morning, we're going to stand in just a moment and sing through this hymn of invitation. And as we sing through this song, I Surrender All, if God has spoken to your heart this morning and you feel like, and I'm ready to take a stand for Christ, would you just step out from where you are? People will certainly let you out. Come take me by the hand and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. And I'll help you do that. Whatever it is that God's saying to you this morning, I encourage you to come. As we begin to sing this song, will you come? Let's stand. Let's begin to sing I Surrender All together. All to Jesus.